Let's talk first about President Trump is going to unveil his budget coming up. And I know sure to probably set another show down on the budget by way of the border wall. We'll talk about that here in a second. But, you know, this is unveiled as the nation now has clicked today at $22 trillion in debt. Kind of your thoughts on his budget proposal, and specifically, what does it do to try to reduce this debt that the nation is under?
Well, I can't comment specifically on his budget proposal, other than I know that the president has to submit a budget by a certain period, you know, a certain date. And then, of course, you know, most budgets never are implemented. Obama never had his budget request implemented. It just doesn't happen, although the president sort of has a wish list. And then, depending on the makeup of Congress, they may kind of use that as somewhat of a framework. But the problem that I have with this whole process is that we haven't done anything meaningfully to address this astounding debt that you mentioned, and now, 22 plus trillion dollars. So I'm inclined to not support budgets, and that's kind of been my history over the years of voting against budgets, because if we're not going to at least be given the opportunity to vote for a balanced budget amendment, which really is underlies any kind of reform that we could have in the budgeting process, is a balanced budget amendment, then I'm inclined to say no to budgets. There have been times when I have been put in a position where I needed to vote for a budget, avoiding a government shutdown or whatever. But those are not typically budgets. Those are CRs and omnibus bills. And it's a little bit different. I think people get confused about the process. The budget is the framework around which the process is built. And then the appropriations are taken from the budget request and so on.
And you're talking about the CR being the continuing resolutions that you all continue to do to be able to try and get from one point to another to kind of carry the budget over.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so as the name implies, a continuing resolution means that the spending would continue as it is. And you can do very little to alter the course of spending when you do continuing resolutions. And when you have divided government, that may be one of the best things you can hope for, is just a continuing resolution to keep the budget or the government open. Whereas when you have, last Congress, the last session of Congress, we completed 12 appropriations bills in the House and to the Senate, and seven of the 12 were passed and five were not. And so that's how we end up with, a shutdown, and we ended up in a shutdown because the Senate was unable to completely pass all the appropriations that we sent their way. And it's going to be exceptionally difficult in divided government. We don't control the budgeting process in the House during this Congress. That's going to be left to Nancy Pelosi and her lieutenants. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of budget they put forth, but it's a safe bet that they will not accept that in the Senate. Therefore, the appropriations bills will also reflect that, and we'll probably end up again with another CR.
What do you think it's going to take to be able to get to that point where both parties can kind of get over the, all this bickering that's going on, and realize that, the time is now that we need to address this national issue that at one point you had said is probably more of an emergency than what's taking place at the border wall?
Well, it is, because generationally, what we're doing is we're racking up more and more debt to such a degree that we can't ever even imagine paying it off. And so, at the very least, what we ought to be able to do, if you can't support a balanced budget amendment, and there are Republicans that say, I don't want a balanced budget amendment because in order to achieve balance, we may have to raise revenue. And, Republicans don't like the idea of raising revenue. I mean, I can argue that point as well. But if you're going to stick to that dogma that we can't have an increase in revenue, therefore I can't support a balanced budget amendment, then we ought to at least look at a spending limitation amendment, which caps spending as a percentage of GDP. So, we can then fundamentally define the size and scope and scale of our government based on the economy that we have. And so if you scale back spending as a percentage of our total economy, and say right now we're spending about 23%+ of our economy on government, I think we could function at 19%. So we could put ourselves on a glide path, whether that be a 5-year or 10-year glide path, to get down to 19% and cap spending. And then, of course, you'd have some safeguards in there to increase spending with a 3/5 majority vote in the time of an emergency. You know, heaven forbid we have another 9/11 or something along those lines that would require that we bust those caps. There would be a safeguard in place to do that, but it would not be an easily manipulated process. It would be something that would require a supermajority in order to do it.
U.S. Representative Rick Crawford joining us here on KASU. I know that the part of this, President Trump asking for, I think, $8.6 million more in the border wall, do you think that's going to set up another confrontation which could lead to another government shutdown, kind of like what we had before?
Well, Congresswoman Pelosi and Senator Schumer have already said yes, that that will lead to another shutdown. So they are, at this point, leaning into a government shutdown. So under their leadership, and, of course, you know, Senator Schumer is, he's not ancillary to this process, but he is, he's not the majority leader in the Senate. However, you know, Nancy Pelosi is the speaker, so she's going to lead her conference in that direction. And if that's the direction she chooses to go, then there's a good likelihood we'll see another shutdown. And so since she's in charge, she's probably going to be the one that you know, leads on that, and so folks can make up their mind as to who they want to point the finger at, but she's already telegraphed that in no uncertain terms.
Did you think the national emergency was the way to go for President Trump to get what he needed or what he said that he needed for the border wall?
Well, I don't. Generally speaking, I don't like it, but I also don't like the idea that people act like this is something new. Okay, you know, President Obama did this multiple times. In fact, DACA came as a result of a declaration of an emergency, almost in the same context, and that was upheld by the courts. And so, while I don't like it as a member of Congress, as a co-equal branch of government, it's our responsibility to be able to do these things. If the Democrat-led House of Representatives does not want to get on the same sheet of music, provide the necessary tools for the president, then what options does he have when he's supposed to implement execute national security? That's his responsibility, and so he's going to have to find the tools where he can. I don't like the process. But I do believe that it's probably going to be upheld if it's challenged in court. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of precedent to support this action.
Is this just about a wall, or is this part of overall border security issues, if you know what I'm trying to ask?
Well, we've used the wall as sort of the pejorative term, and it's much more than that. I mean, the wall, certainly, there needs to be physical structures in place. What they don't like is the symbolism of a concrete wall, because the president was very, very vocal, very animated on he's going to build a big, beautiful wall. But, you know, the reality is, and everybody that's, you know, a responsible national security advisor, the folks on the border, they're all saying, yes, we need to have border security. The wall is not indicated from sea to shining sea. It's just not, and these experts know that, and they're advising him accordingly. So that means we got to rely on technology where a wall is not indicated so that we can do a better job in interdiction and really lock that border down, because that's what's got to happen. You've seen the flow of drugs is really unimpeded. We have human trafficking, the likes of which we've never seen before. And, you know, cartels run northern Mexico. In fact, they run most of Mexico. And so if we're going to take border security seriously, it's a national security imperative that we do.
Does it stop it, or does it, like, slow it down considerably? Because I've heard some debates on sides, and NPR played a cut this morning from a rancher in Arizona who said that it doesn't totally stop it. It just kind of slows it down considerably.
Well, slowing it down considerably is a win. Whether or not you could say it stops it completely, you know, that remains to be seen, because we've never had, you know, a comprehensive 100% secure border. If we did, then I would say yes, it does stop it completely. But what we have now does not stop it completely. In fact, what we have now really kind of incentivizes. I mean, there's weak areas and highly exploitable areas in our border and people continue to cross. And so what we're trying to do is put structures up that, you know, and maybe it does sort of redirect and focus those areas of crossings. Then we can address, you know, using our technology, our drones, our monitoring systems, and then, you know, actual interdiction from agents. Then we can stop them, you know, on a person-to-person basis. But, you know, the structures help, and that's just a fact.